Isaiah 49:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 49:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 49:29. Psalm 119:72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Psalm 119:72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Psalm 119:72. 1 Peter 1:8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible, full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible, full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Children, please stand for Bible class. Okay. First of all, I guess we need to take care of business, which is for us is to get in fellowship, which means 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's go ahead and take care of that now. And that's between you and the Lord. It's none of my business. Let's privately name our sins to God the Father. Let's take care of that now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for allowing us the time to study your word, to grow spiritually on a daily basis, and to continue to persevere in this life because of who and what you are. We thank you for that. And we also pray for concentration on your word and to retain the information that we learned today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, so we got into Ephesians in Christ, our phrase in Christ, and we actually got to the Ephesians 1:1, which I think we'll get back to. But first of all, I just wanted to briefly review of where we're at, and we'll get back to Hebrews 11:1, which kind of defines faith for us. So last time we covered what in Christ everything it encompassed. For us, the small little phrase, which meant for us, it was, it started with our position, which is our salvation, continued on in our relationship, and finally culminates in eternity. So that little bitty phrase, in Christ, in reality includes our entire spiritual life. We also talked about some of the 40 things that were given at salvation. Five of those I've mentioned in our position. Here they are. I won't repeat them again. I won't go through them in detail. Redemption, propitiation, reconciliation, justification, and unlimited atonement. I think where we spent most of our time was in number two, phase two of our lives, which is the position, or excuse me, the relationship. That's where our focus was spent. And that does require a decision on our part. So after we are saved, it does take a positive volitional decision on the part of the believer to continue in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we look back over our lives, we can see the growing process. And the reality of it is that we can't really take credit for any of that. Even though we see the change in our lives, we can see that our thinking changes. We can take no credit for the change because the person behind the change is God himself, and he's the one who provides the information that we need for the change of thinking. So he does receive the credit in doing so. Otherwise, we wouldn't grow. So then we moved on to continuing to look at the importance of that relationship and how important it is to us as growing believers. And Paul helped us see that in Philippians 3, 7 through 9, where he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And the word he used there was the word that I have up here on the slide, which is the Greek word zemia, which is Z-E-M-I-A. And it means damage, disadvantage, loss, penalty, or fine. So what Paul is saying was the things that he once thought of as gain in his life, he now can see those as a disadvantage or even damaging. Some of those things that he named off were prestige, public image, social status, bloodline, keeping outward appearance of righteousness, background, etc. He counted them all as lost and damaging in view of his position in Christ. So what we were quickly able to see when we looked at this verse was priorities. It's very evident that there was a change in Paul's thinking before salvation and along the process in the relationship up to where he was at this point in his life. He had a change of thinking along the way. And that same thing happens to us as well. So what he once considered gain as an asset, he now considers loss or even a liability. And he goes on to say in the next verse that he counts not just some things or those things that he saw prior as gain. He says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So there's that word again, damage. So it lets us see the importance of that relationship, the importance of the first of all, the position, which you guys are all past, but it also allows us to see the importance of the relationship. So spiritual growth, we said, should be the most important thing in our lives. That doesn't mean that we should reduce or necessarily forget about the other things in our lives, because they're all important. We do have to make certain priorities, but what it is telling us about priorities is that we have to come at them with the correct perspective in life. It doesn't mean, you know, stop spending time with all your friends or drop this hobby because it's consuming you. You can still enjoy those things, but if you have a correct divine perspective about them, and you're not getting off track in your spiritual life, then your priorities are technically still online, right? So the application for us was to be aware of the things we put first in our thinking ahead of consistent spiritual growth, or else they will damage our lives and our spiritual growth as a result. And one thing to take note of is what I said was the thinking. Because it's easy to look at someone and just notice the outward, what they're doing, where they're going, who they're with, and what they're saying, right? The visible. So the thinking should change first before the motivation changes for the physical and the outward. If you don't have the motivation, the divine perspective and motivation to glorify God, the outward doesn't mean a thing. So faith actually goes hand in hand with priorities, which I will get into in a second. But it was kind of neat that we got through the priority piece, because the longer we grow spiritually, the more our faith is redirected from the physical to the spiritual. So the more you continue in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the less you will rely on the physical in this world. And that's the reality of the Word of God. So we finally got back to our verse, which was in Christ, which is Ephesians 1:1, and it says, faithful in Christ. And here was the piece we were focusing on. So we had a new perspective about in Christ. It's about everything from our position through our relationship and on into eternity. And now we see a new word, which says faithful. So Paul here is describing the believers, and he's describing them as faithful. Faithful believers. And the word that's used is, a few clicks away, is pistos. It's an adjective. It's, the use is masculine, dative, plural. And it means trustworthy, faithful, believing, or dependable. So in order to understand faithful, we had to take a step back and understand faith, what faith meant. So that took us to Hebrews 11:1, which you should recognize this slide. So Hebrews 11:1, I'll read it. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And if we include our, what I think brings out the true meaning, better meaning of the emphasis of the Greek, we could say faith is the reality of things confidently expected, the proof of things not seen. And the word that we gravitated around was the verb here, which is for you number two on your list, which is elpizo. And we mentioned that it was in the passive voice. So the passive voice, we all know the active, right? The subject produces the action. But the passive is a little bit different. It's where the subject receives the action of the verb. So what does this verb mean? It's anticipation, confidence, expectation, and a confident trust that we have. So think about this. The passive voice is telling us this doesn't originate from us. These thoughts we don't just conjure on our own and become confident. Confident isn't just originated from ourselves. It takes something outside of yourself to originate, right? And what that is the object of your faith. In other words, we don't produce or imagine these things. We derive them from God Himself. So technically, we could say we're not even responsible for our faith because, number one, the power behind why we are faithful is from God Himself. And that should be all review. But I felt like I had to repeat it. Because that repeat bug is just in me. So, the present tense is telling us, and this should be new. This is where we're going to head, start over, start fresh. So the present tense, elpizo, is also in the present tense, and it's telling us that the power source which provides for and sustains our confident expectation is continuous. So we become confident from the continuous source of the power of our faith, if that makes sense. It's the faithfulness of God to you that allows you to be faithful back to Him. It's a reciprocation. So we become confident from seeing unfailing and unending support, love, care and perfect fairness from God to us. So how can we do anything else but reciprocate? So it also tells us about the endless supply. As you know, present tense is a continuous action, which means not only do we have the opportunity to be confident, but the source of that confidence is constant, continual, pushing it down towards you. So it's unending. So the thought that He will always have a supply of spiritual food in our lifetime is comforting. And also that our desire is always met with His grace, constantly pushing spiritual needs to us just so we can come to the realization and open up our blinders and say, oh wow, it's here, it's available. So the passive voice along with the present tense means that our confidence and expectation that powers, that the power and that sustains our faith is first not from us, and therefore it's non-meritorious, right? And secondly, that power, which by the way is from God Himself, is continuous. So we've got the continuous aspect of the present tense. Then we have the passive voice, which means it's derived not from inside of ourselves, but from God Himself. And there's the present tense. Which leads us to faith is non-meritorious, which that's just a big word that says we can't take the credit for anything that we rely on God to do. Faith is belief in the unseen. The object of your faith is the one that gets the credit. And in our case, the merit always goes to Jesus Christ. So just as the same concept as we love because He first loved us, we are faithful because He was first and always has been faithful to us. I don't know if you can remember, but from the very first lesson, I discussed the dative case and it talked about location. And it tells us clearly, faithful in Christ, it tells us exactly where the faith comes from. It's drawn out in plain English. It says, in Christ. So, the key thing to remember about faithfulness is that the emphasis should never be placed on the believer, but the emphasis is always placed on the object of faith, which is God Himself. It's easy to, during your advancement, to shift the focus back to me. Or back to my spiritual life and what I have, right? It's easy to start comparing from one to another, but the focus should never be on us because the reality is there's nothing that we did for it, there's nothing that we do to deserve it, and there's nothing that we have done to produce the information that we get from it. So the emphasis is never on the believer, but on Jesus Christ. But if you look at Hebrews 11:1 again, look at the second part of what it says. It says, the reality of things expected, the proof of things not seen, or the convicting evidence of things not seen. So that tells us something else. Faith is not based on circumstances. In other words, our faith can't waver because of the physical, because of what we see. It's easy to be faithful when the circumstances are nice, weather's good, family relations are great, friendships are going well. It's easy to have a, a false sense of faith in those times. But many times you find that it's actually quite the opposite. In fact, most of the time, just the opposite. So proof in the unseen means what to us? What about relationships? We take relationships, for instance. Deadlines, time crunches. Is the faith the same then as it is when things are going well? Now, during all this, when we go through these things, God isn't hoping that you fall apart and lose faith. I think 1 Corinthians 10:13 gives us a little bit of insight into what we can do and how are we to handle and how God deals with us in these times. I'll read it. You can turn to it if you like. It says, God is faithful, and He will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing, He will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. So He'll never test us beyond our capability. That's comforting to know. So this little word endure here at the end of the verse, you can see it on your fourth bullet point. Hupophero is the Greek word. H-U-P-O-P-H-E-R-O. It's a compound word. Hupo is by or under. Phero is to carry or bear. So we bear under the circumstance. And what came to my mind when I was thinking about this word was, we've all been in obviously difficult circumstances in life, and we've also been in some very bad storms, weather, storms. In a way, they're pretty similar, because notice when you're driving down the highway and the storm really starts coming down, what do a lot of people do? They get under a bridge. They take shelter. And to me, this word, to bear under, means just that. In life, in our circumstances, whether it be with family, our relationships, our deadlines, we cannot take on that problem on our own. We can't do it. So what we have to do is we have to pull over under the bridge and take a break. Because the problem isn't going to stop. The rain is going to keep coming down. But the thing that will stop is your priorities will stay focused. And what you're allowing God to do is you're allowing Him to shelter you in that storm. You're getting under His authority and you're expressing that faith. Notice one thing about His faith is that it never stops, and it doesn't really matter our response. His faith is always there, always constantly, steadily backing us. We're the one that waver. Our faith wavers, not His. So when we get into those deadlines, relationship issues, health issues, many times the physical will want to invade your faith. From what you see, and not your faith. But what we should be relying on is God and not ourselves or what we see. God is always faithful. And the question really is, do we believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do? Do we believe it? And that's really what it boils down to. Do we believe His word? Yeah, I believe it. I just claimed a promise. It didn't work. right? I just had a promise. This didn't work. The question is, have you given it up to God? Because He's waiting on you to stop taking it back. Isn't it so easy to give it to Him and then we say, no, 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 give it back. I'll take it back. And what happens then? We start worrying. And then we're out of fellowship. And guess what He's going to do? He's going to let you have it. So, faith requires, well, let me back up. Faithfulness requires faith, right? Not only a one-time event at salvation, it requires a continuous use of faith. Faith takes strengthening. Faith takes practice. Faith takes the Word of God on a consistent basis so we can strengthen our faith and learn more about who and what God is and learn that He's always going to be there and never forsake us in problems. So you might see the bridge and you might bypass the bridge if you're not steadily, consistently in the Word. It's there. It's always there. You always pass a bridge. So how do we do that? How can we defy or not be persuaded by what we see in our faith in God? Well, there's only one way to do that. And it requires exercise. Notice the difference in these examples. To have run or to be a runner. To have painted, to be a painter. To have shot, to be a shooter. To have faith, to be faithful. One thing you notice about all these is many people have painted, but not a lot of them are painters. Or most of us have shot, but aren't snipers or shooters, experts in the field. Maybe Jason or Pat. But you get my point. Relate that to faith. To have faith once or to be faithful. What does that require? Well, you can guarantee that there are many more that have expressed a one-time faith than there are that are faithful. Romans 10:17 tells us how to expand, grow, and strengthen our faith. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Isn't that amazing? It goes right back to our relationship with Christ. To strengthen our faith, right back to our relationship. And what's funny is when the physical starts to lean on us, what do we back off from? The relationship. Why do we do that? That's the one thing we should be running towards, is that relationship with Christ. It says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, the painter that has painted and wants to be a professional painter has gone through many trials, errors, tribulations, failed attempts, people wanting their money back because he's messed up, painting the wall the wrong color, not telling you about it till you get home. Right? But to be a professional painter, guess what he has to do? He has to go through all those things to become better at what he's doing. So faith leads to faithfulness, but it has to be exercised. So it's a process. It goes right along with your spiritual growth. Your faith is like a muscle. The Word of God is like the weights in the food that make it grow and increase. So we talked about why we are faithful, and the first reason was because He is faithful to us. So He sustains us, and that's the reason we can even have the assured expectation, right? So the merit always goes to the object of our faith. And for some, that's the hard piece. The hard part is not being able to see who and what is doing on your behalf. We're so involved with the physical aspect. What I can see is true. But in fact, just the opposite is true. What you cannot see God doing behind the scenes, we should actually trust 100 times more than what we do see. Because what we see simply throws us off many times. It throws us off from the plan of God, and it throws us off from our priorities. It makes us think that what I'm doing is wrong, or I'm not waiting long enough. Maybe I need to stop and pick up bags and go. What are we doing? We're looking at the circumstances and we're saying, we're making a judgment call without Christ, without a relationship, without the divine perspective, and we're picking up shop and we're going. But one thing we need to remember about faith is that the object of our faith knows the perfect timing that things need to occur in our lives. Whether it be reconciling of a relationship or finding a new job or relocating to another area, God's timing is perfect. And the realization of that needs to be a reality in our lives. His timing is perfect, ours is not. And we have to be able to give Him the problem so He can work on it. He doesn't want you to take it back. He doesn't want you to take it back. He wants it. And He wants you to give it to Him and throw it on Him. Give it to Him. We so many times take it back. So faith, in closing, is something we learn, and it comes as a process. It's not a one-time thing. You're not going to express one moment of faith and then be faithful. It takes that growth and that relationship to expand your strength in your faith. It also takes dedication to the object, which means you're committed, you're locked in to the Word of God, to truth. You have a constant desire, a yearning to come, to grow spiritually, to receive the Word of God, and nothing is going to stop you from that. That's your attitude you have to have. Nothing in this world is going to stop you from growing spiritually. And most of you, I can see that is the case. Not a thing in this world is going to stop you. And if it does, it's part of God's will. So it takes not only dedication, but it takes endurance. It takes some endurance. And there's many times when we get weathered, but we always have to remember that we have the power of God available at our beck and call. We have God available, waiting to work on your behalf. So the endurance is met with the bridge. Remember the bridge. Always pull over under the bridge because God will carry the weight of that problem. So it takes loyalty to the object, consistency. It takes dedication, committed to teaching of truth. And it takes perseverance, which builds endurance for you. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to assemble here today and learn more about your person, who you are, how much faith you have towards us, which is infinite. We thank you so much for that. And we also like to address anyone who has never had the opportunity to hear who and what Jesus Christ is and what he did for us. He's your son, which you sent to this earth for one reason. You sent him to die for our sins. There was a separation between you and us because of one reason. There was a penalty that had to be paid, which was sin. The penalty of sin had to be paid. And no one could do it except someone perfectly qualified, which is your son, Jesus Christ. He came, he died. It's completely available. It's a done deal. The only thing that you require of us is faith. For God so loved the world that he sent his uniquely born son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for making the most important decision of our life so easy and so available, so that anyone can accept at any circumstance of their life, they can say, yes, I'll take it. I accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and salvation is yours. An eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. And thank you for this life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.